I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
Yogi Bear is smarter than the average bear. Yogi Bear is always in the ranger's hair. At a picnic table you will find him there. Stopping down more goodies than the average bear. He will sleep till noon, but before it's dark, he'll have every picnic basket that's in jelly or hard. Yogi has it better than a millionaire. Basket was he's smarter than the average bear.
Yogi! Yogi!
Hey, hey, boo-boo! What's all the commotion?
There's someone here to see you.
Is it Mr. Ranger?
No, it's an official. He says he's from Washington.
Pleased to meet you, sir. Can I interest you in a picnic basket?
No thanks, sir. I'm Frank Darrow. I'm with the National Park Service.
If you're here about my shenanigans, I assure you they were only for entertainment value.
No, sir. I'm here to inform you that we're closing Jellystone National Park.
Hey, hey, hey! You can't close Jellystone?
Well, it's part of the government shutdown. All national parks are closed. Yosemite, Grand Tetons, even the Statue of Liberty.
What are we gonna do, Yogi?
Don't worry, boo-boo. When one Jellystone closes, another one opens. Mr. Darrow, Boo-Boo and I have had a long relationship with your organization, reflected in decades of popular shorts, series, and a full-length motion picture.
Hey, if it were up to me, Jellystone would stay open, but it's the Republicans, sir.
Boo-Boo, who are these Republicans?
They're like us, Yogi, except instead of stealing picnic baskets, they're total fucking assholes.
Hey, hey, boo-boo. Our guest will think we're not smarter than the average bear.
I don't worry about it. You're smarter than the average Republican.
Yogi, look! It's the Statue of Liberty!
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. Hey, guys!
Can we get you anything, Statue?
Besides a reasonable functioning government?
Hey, hey, Statue! We're cartoon characters! We're not... total fucking assholes!
All right, that's enough.
And now, from Secretary of State John Kerry, an open letter to Africa.
Hello, Africa. It's time we had a talk. I know you've seen a lot of me recently. You've seen me spitting out a lot of tough talk about atrocities. You've seen me sweat and fight for a diplomatic solution to what seems like an impossible situation. You've seen me do all this for Syria. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, hey, what about me? Africa. I have atrocities. The world shouldn't stand for what I go through. Don't I deserve some tough talk or even a little fight for a diplomatic solution? Well, Africa, the thing is, not really. You see, Syria is new. Syria is exciting. Most of the United States had never heard of Syria before they started with chemical warfare on their own people, and the United States said, "This is new. This is fresh. This is part of the Middle East that hasn't been explored yet. It's a section of town that is not tired old Iraq, Afghanistan, or even trying to start something up with Iran again. Oh, Iran. It feels so forced and really is taking too much effort. I mean, their prime minister acknowledged the Holocaust. We can't drone them now, can we? Not really. The rest of the world would talk. So, Syria. New, fresh, hot Syria. You see, Africa, Syria really stepped up their game with chemical weapons. Out of the blue. What? Who? Chemical weapons? How do we get involved? Yes, Africa, you have genocide, children that are forced to be soldiers, an AIDS epidemic, and rape as a tool for warfare. But you don't have chemical weapons. And to be honest, Africa, even if you did, I'm not sure we're that interested. You have diamonds and pirates. Syria reminds us of a mini Baghdad, and we simply can't pass up something so neo and yet retro. So don't feel bad, Africa. It's not you, it's us. But if you ever have a bunch of white guys take over a region and segregate the population, or if famine becomes hip again, one of us in the United States might make a music video about it.
And now, the final edition brings you the historic phone call between President Barack Obama and Iran's President Hassan Rouhani on September the 27th, 2013.
Hello?
Who is this?
This is Barack Obama.
Oh, sorry, I don't know anyone by this name.
I'm the President of the United States? Of America? The Great Satan?
Oh, that United States!
This is a historic call, Hassan.
Are you going to bomb us?
No, I'm not going to bomb you. How long has it been since our countries last talked? 5 years? Six?
34. But at least it's not 52 hostages. That's some joke, eh, boss?
Wow. We haven't spoken since 1979.
The disco era. The Fonz. He was still living with Mr. and Mrs. C.
Yes. Let's talk about nukes.
Okay, what kind of operating system do you have?
That's classified, Hassan.
No. I mean on your iPhone.
I have iOS 7.
Oh, I wanted iOS 7, but the line was too long at the Tehran Apple Store.
Maybe you can order it online.
Hey, fatwas go around the world twice before a service representative even responds to my order.
Hassan, according to my prepared script, I'm supposed to thank you and go make another historic phone call. I know you have important business.
You want to play words with friends?
No.
A Candy Crush?
No.
Nuclear proliferation? Just kidding.
Gotta run, Hassan. History doesn't pay for itself.
If you see Salman Rushdie, tell him I'm looking for him.
Hassan,
you think I'm tough? Try the Writers Guild. That's from Argo.
Hassan, I'm going through a tunnel. Whew. I thought that would never end.
I heard that. Hey, tell Ben Affleck I'm looking for him.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth. If you serve in the U.S. military and you rape a fellow service member, chances are you won't be punished. In fact, you have an estimated 86.5% chance of keeping your crime a secret and a 92% chance of avoiding a court-martial. Service members who report being sexually assaulted by a military colleague do so at their own peril. They may face an investigation and even involuntary discharge. Many report that they are told they're crazy, they're to blame, or are subject to ridicule. Can our illustrious military be this callous? Surely its proud traditions don't tolerate either rapists or those who protect rapists, do they? The Final Edition Radio Hour decided to go undercover and see just who's telling the truth.
Sergeant, I need help. I've just been raped.
Have you now? Well, that's too bad. We need to see the unit rape counselor.
Okay. What's her name?
His name is Captain Chris Callis.
But He's the unit commander.
Well, that's right, and he's dealt with a lot of rapes.
But I need a doctor. I want a rape kit done.
All rape allegations have got to go through the captain.
Okay, let me see him.
Yo, captain! We got another one!
Captain, I've just been sexually assaulted by a superior.
Whoa! You address me as Sir Corporal, and I'll take a salute with that.
Okay, sir. Sorry.
Sloppy Corporal 3 on a scale of 10. I notice you're without headgear, or pants, or apparently a bra.
Yeah, Captain. See, this guy pushed me to the ground and tore them.
The correct way to salute when wearing a beret or without headgear is to raise the right hand until the tip of the finger touches the outer edge of the right eyebrow, which is just above and to the right of the right eye. Army Service Manual 1997. Now, give me a crisp one.
Yes, sir.
Still pretty sloppy, but I'll let it go. So what's up, babe?
I've just been brutally raped by Lieutenant...
Whoa! Let's keep names out of this, shall we? You claim you've been raped?
I don't claim I've been raped. Look at my clothes.
Okay, the guy pinned you down, tore your bra and pants off. Then what?
What do you mean, then what? Wouldn't that be enough right there?
You address me as Captain, Corporal.
Wouldn't that be enough right there, Captain?
Well, not to be overly technical, but the guy would have to go all the way. Otherwise, it could have just been friendly horseplay.
The guy, of course he went all the way.
Can't say I'm surprised. You're quite a looker, babe.
What?
Hey, honey, just trying to talk you down a little. Lighten up. You're a good-looking woman. Who doesn't appreciate a good-looking woman? Okay. Sensitivity training kicking in here. Were you drunk?
No. I don't drink anyway. What difference?
Stone?
No.
Mm-hmm. Sir?
No, sir.
You look kind of out of it right now.
I've just been...
Okay, let's say you have been raped. That's not good for your morale or the Army's image, granted. But what do you expect if you date soldiers? I mean, they're animals.
I wasn't on a date. I was assaulted by a superior...
We train soldiers to use force to accomplish their goals, right? That's the whole point of having a military. So, you're not coming through. The guy's gonna use force.
Captain, I need a doctor. I need medical attention. I need access to a rape kit.
Jesus wept, Corporal. Quit your bawling. You're in the Army now. Man up. Okay. Medic!
Present and correct, Commander. Captain Ulysses S. Crunch, U.S. Army Medical Corps, at your service.
Doctor, thank God you're here.
Whoa there, Corporal. We salute superior ranks, do we not?
Oh, no.
Pull yourself together, Corporal. What seems to be the problem?
I need you to run a rape kit.
Why?
I've been raped.
I've been raped, sir.
I've been raped, sir.
I can't say I'm surprised. You're quite a looker, babe.
Levin, this morning, a worker found you in track.
Starks, they're bucketing.
Yes, surveilling. The best restaurant.
We're watching the History Channel.
George Washington. We all know he crossed the Delaware River with his Continental Army on Christmas night 1776, surprising the British in Trenton. But we at the History Channel must ask, what if George Washington had been a turtle? UCLA history professor Mark Bitkoff.
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking.
If George Washington was a turtle, how would that have changed the Battle of Trenton?
He would have moved a lot slower, I guess. Being a reptile, he'd be cold-blooded, so he might have had trouble with the cold weather. But with his shell, I guess bullets wouldn't have hurt him as much. But the whole question is just...
Bullets couldn't hurt him. Noted history hobbyist Terry Franhorn agreed that George Washington was a turtle.
We see numerous accounts describing George Washington as 6'2" tall, with high cheekbones and a bony or cartilaginous shell. Also, like George Washington, turtles do not lay their eggs underwater.
And indeed, Terry Franhorn showed us a description of George Washington like that, in Franhorn's own handwriting. But if Washington, and by extension everyone in that era, was a turtle, we would have to conclude that George Washington was also a Highlander, an immortal warrior compelled to battle other immortals until, in the end, there can be only one. We'll give the last word to frequent angry internet commentator Benson Plentyfish Shitspill. I can't read this.
George Washington as a turtle who cannot die.
This is the History Channel. And now here is a cut from the Final Edition's first album, The Vinyl Edition, which is available now for your purchase online. Fine retail outlets, including iTunes and CD Baby. So run along and buy it, won't you?
And now more from the Final Edition's finance feature, Money or Die.
Major corporations continue to be nervous about corporate taxes going up and loopholes being closed. Our very own Money Honey Bunny Bucks has the scoop.
Will a second-term Obama finally implement his plan to tax big corporations till they bleed? What do they do? Fred Bread, Deloitte professor of voodoo accounting at the University of Phoenix, thinks he knows.
In our crazy deist republic, what corporate entities have the juiciest tax breaks of all?
GM. GE?
No, silly! Religions! So, if a corporation can prove it's actually a religion, they will pay zero taxes.
To test his theory, Professor Bread took me along with him for a show-and-tell meeting with Robert Iger of the largest entertainment conglomerate in the world, Disney, Inc. I'm home,
I'm home, I'm home, I'm home. Okay, Professor, let me get this straight. You're saying the Disney Corporation exhibits all the characteristics of a religion?
Yes, a better name would be the Church of the Holy Rodent.
Holy Rodent? I don't know.
Hear me out. The Rodentine faith centers around three persons, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy. Icons so sacred they adorned the planes, tanks, and ships which won the crusade against fascism in World War II.
I guess that's true.
So, like the Christian Trinity, the Rodentine Trinity is one in spirit, but with three distinct persons. God the Vermin.
Up and at 'em, pal.
God the Duck. And God the Holy Goof.
When you put it like that, denying it feels almost like blasphemy.
Exactly. These are saints so sacred. Not only have they never had sex, they don't even have sexual characteristics.
I like where this is going.
All Disney females from Snow White to Mary Poppins are virgins. Especially Bambi's mother, when she presents the world with her little Bambi, the Bambino!
The new princess born!
This is genius!
Wait, what about Minnie?
I would surmise that Minnie had a murky past before she got together with Mickey. Meet Minnie Magdalene!
You clown!
Now that's a global blockbuster! Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy return in an animated New Testament. Get me Katzenberg.
Finally, there's Disney's immutable doctrine of resurrection after death. Or apparent death.
That's true. All the heroines die and come back to life. Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Ariel, Mulan.
Heroes, too. What about Mowgli?
And Pinocchio. Pinocchio even has a conscience, Jiminy Cricket.
There's two ways to do anything, the right way and the wrong way.
Whose initials are?
J.C.
Pinocchio undergoes the torments of Jonah in the belly of a whale and is transfigured by resurrection into a real boy.
I'm a real boy!
Plus, Plus, his father is a carpenter!
Oh my God!
I would argue to the IRS that Pinocchio fulfills the opening words of St. John's Gospel. In the beginning was the wood, and the wood was made flesh.
Oh my God!
This is huge. No way we'll ever pay another cent in taxes. In fact, I'm renaming our Florida operations. Tomorrow, I can see it now. Disney World to come. The Magic Kingdom of Heaven.
Brilliant. That should cinch it tax-wise.
Disney has already applied to the IRS for tax-exempt status as an established faith. Experts from Deloitte say it's a slam dunk. Disney will then rebrand itself globally as the Holy Rodent Empire.
And you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are, anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart...
Just a reminder, the vinyl edition, the first album from the final edition, is available online for your purchase at this very moment as we speak. Hurry and get it before it sells out. And that's it. Another edition of the final edition, Radio Hour, which was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, Rachel Rausch, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, and Tony Hendra. Be sure to check out thefinaledition.com for more sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2013.